and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza, working on this pre-recorded program, Vermont. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Wednesday, August 11, 2021. Authorities in Central Equatoria State have asked pastoralists camping on the outskirts of Juba Town to relocate within 72 hours.
All cattle camps around Juba must be vacated to their places of origin within 72 hours. Failure to do so will mean they will be driven out by force.
And the South Sudan Police Service in northern Bahr el Ghazal state is holding a woman for allegedly beheading her own child.
Police, with their sources, managed to apprehend that lady. She confessed that, yes, the lady, the child belonged to her, and she aborted it because somebody have raped her.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Authorities in Central Equatoria State have given a 72-hour deadline to pastoralists around Juba County to return to their place of origin or risk being forced by security agencies. Several pastoralists relocated their cattle camps from Terekeka County to Juba following intercommunal clashes between two communities in Terekeka. For VOA News, Viola Elias reports from Juba.
Moro Isaac, Central Equatoria State Local Government and Law Enforcement Minister, announced the new directives following an emergency security committee meeting on Monday. Isaac said Monday that the State Security Council would give cattle camps leaders 3 days to return to their places of origin or be forced out.
All cattle camps around Juba must be vacated to their places of origin within 72 hours. Failure to do so will mean they will be driven out by force, and all security units within Juba and Central Equatoria State areas proximate to the city are directed to effect this order after 72 hours.
Isaac, who also served as Secretary of the Central Equatoria State Security Council, says the decision was made after intercommunal fighting broke out last week, leaving more than 30 people dead and more than 1,000 people displaced from their homes in Terekeka County. The 72 hours ultimatum ends today, but there is a little sign that cattle camps owners are leaving. In 2017, President Salva Kiir ordered cattle keepers from Jungle State, who were grazing their animals in parts of Equatoria, to return to Jungle after farmers in the region complained about cattle had destroyed their crops and properties. Several subsequent decrees and orders were issued, ordering all cattle herders to vacate the Equatorian region and return to their places of origin, but the orders were never enforced. Isaac says this time around the state has directed security agencies to enforce the order by the end of the day. He says the state authorities will take any specific measures against the cattle herders if they fail to adhere to the new order.
This is going to be different because we thought we have to save life and save the security of the city. We tried with a lot of interventions, but I think they are persisting, and it is resolved by all security units that they must be driven away if they can't leave within 72 hours.
Bush Buse, a civil society activist who hails from Terekeka County, says Central Equatoria State officials should have addressed the root causes of intercommunal violence, which forced the cattle keepers to move in the first place.
So what government should have done first to do consultative meeting to understand why they are here? Number two, government should send the protection force. The force that they are talking about should be sent to create a buffer zone instead of sending them away. A buffer zone that will de-escalate the situation. If there is another group that is trying to mobilize to attack the other cattle camp, they should try to deter that kind of move.
Bushe says the state should organize an intercommunal dialogue to reconcile the two sections of the Mundari community that clashed last week. He says the government needs to apprehend the culprits before ordering cattle herders to leave. He says young people in cattle camps are well armed and could fight with government security forces if cattle camps owners are forced to leave the area.
If they don't do it in a proper way, then the scenario of that happened, okay, in the past during the disarmament would occur. And this is what must be avoided by any means, a confrontation between the armed youth of the cattle camp, okay, and the formal army of the government.
Machar Butrus, a traditional chief responsible for all the Mundari community cattle camps around Juba County, says he does not know if young people in the cattle camps are aware of the directives ordering them to vacate the area.
There is nothing like this. They are just talking. I think they have not even heard of this directive because this order happened in the capital here. But I don't know if they heard it over the radio because I did not ask them.
Buturu says it is not possible for cattle camps owners to relocate their camps to their places of origin. For VOA News, I am Viola Elias in Juba.
The South Sudan Police Service in northern Bahr al-Ghazal state are holding a woman for allegedly beheading her own baby in a will. The northern Bahr al-Ghazal state police spokesperson says the suspect killed her baby at Awil Hospital shortly after giving birth. For VOA News, Dengai Deng has this report from Bor.
Northern Bahr al-Ghazal State Police spokesman Captain Guot Akol says police arrested 25-year-old Achut Kon for killing her newborn baby. He says Kon told police she became pregnant after she was raped.
Police, with their sources, managed to apprehend that lady. She confessed that, yes, the lady, the child belonged to her, and she aborted it because somebody have raped her. And according to medical examination, it was confirmed that the child was born normally, but what happened next is what is now police is investigating.
Captain Akol says the alleged father of the baby has been arrested for sexual assault.
We brought in that person also, that suspect, and it's also under investigation. But the suspect says that that was like they were living together as a girlfriend, and she was not, they were not having an intention of raping her. So they just slept by that day as normally as they usually do. From there, they don't know what happened next.
Captain Akol says Kon has been charged with infanticide under Section 209 of South Sudan Penal Code Act 2008. And shall be arraigned in court as soon as the investigation is completed. Dr. Wolwol Aken, director of Awil Hospital, confirms the incident took place, adding that the baby's medical examination results were normal after birth. Dr. Aken says he also examined the mother of the baby after the police report was filed and found her to be mentally stable.
On Saturday, those of police personnel, they brought a newborn fetus. The head was cut out, and I think that is a male. I examined the dead body after when they brought the woman, and she accepted the one who delivered that baby.
Dr. Aken urges victims of sexual assault, including rape, to report to a nearby health facility immediately after the assault occurred for medical tests and counseling.
Any person got raped is supposed to come to Houghton for management, clinical management first, and then we do something called counseling. Because those who are raped, maybe they will be affected mentally because that's not good. So they would take medication like antiviral.
Midwife Santos Lual, who helped Achut Kon deliver her baby at Awil Hospital, says he did not observe any abnormalities in the baby during the delivery. Lual says all was well the last time he saw the mother and child in the hospital.
I would know the child was born, was a baby boy, they delivered normally. Yeah, baby was normal. But you know, on the roadside, I don't know what is the problem there. The baby's dead and the food is dead. We don't know. So baby was born normally with no any danger. The baby was okay, was healthy. The woman, she was okay, but I don't know. The problem is, what I heard from their family, they say that a woman, she was being pregnant, but their husband is not around. That's why he do that same thing.
Lual Bang, a cousin of Achut Kon, says Kon returned home from her husband more than a year ago after she had a dispute with her husband. Bang says Kon later secured a job as a cleaner at Awil Hospital. He says she became pregnant, but the family did not bother to ask who the father was because they assumed it was her husband. Bang says the family was surprised on Monday to hear Kon kill the baby and told a different story.
They had a problem with the husband for a long time, so we asked her to come to us, and she came home. She has job at a Awil hospital and was staying with us. She became pregnant, and we knew no problem, and we were shocked. She delivered and killed the baby. She said she was raped, and that one evening she was returning home from the work in Awil hospital. She called Boda to take her home in Mapir. On the way, before reaching home, she said a man by the name Marco, who was the same Boda man, raped her. We don't know. That man, Marco, we just got him in the police station when we visit Achut after she was arrested.
Civil rights activist Bol Dengbol of the advocacy group Interfaith South Sudan urges South Sudanese authorities to condemn such acts and ensure that the perpetrators of gender-based violence are prosecuted. For VOA News, I am Deng Guiding in Bor.
The head of Sudan's Sovereign Council has directed the regional governor of Darfur to implement security arrangements in the area. General Abdel Fattah al-Burhan says the Juba peace agreement is the only way to restore stability in the country. Some internal displaced persons in Sudan are asking the transitional government to guarantee safe returns to their homes. For VOA News, Michael Atit reports from Khartoum.
Addressing thousands of citizens who gathered in Al-Fashir town of North Darfur state to witness the installation of the new regional governor of Darfur, the head of Sudan's Sovereign Council, Abdel Fattah al-Burhan, said the Darfur region has suffered for far too long and it is time for people to enjoy the fruits of peace and stability. Al-Burhan says that will not happen unless traditional leaders, youth and all citizens renew their social commitment to build social cohesion among different communities.
We will never build peace if any of us is carrying our own firearms. We will never build peace if any of us is hiding guns in their house. Peace will never exist among us if we are looking at each other with unhappy faces. We will only build peace among ourselves if we all work for peace, love, brotherly spirit, and respect for all.
Addressing the same gathering, the newly appointed Darfur regional governor, Mini Arko Minawi, vowed to work with the local leaders to address insecurity in the region. Governor Minawi said he would also work to open trade borders with the neighboring Chad, the Central African Republic, and Libya, as well as to encourage foreign investment in Darfur.
I would like to emphasize the importance of social cohesion among different communities in Darfur, which should seek social reconciliation after decades of war. We need to cleanse our hearts from the past pains and look forward to a better future so that we can rebuild in our children a new spirit that unites all of us as one people of one country.
Speaking via phone from Kass town of South Darfur state, internally displaced person Abdulrazik Abdullah says while installing Minawi is a positive move, much more needs to be done to address rampant insecurity in the region. Abdullah says the nearly two decades of conflict in Darfur has fostered hatred among some communities, something he says the government needs to address.
We need strong social cohesion among our communities, employment for all youth. We should avoid any discriminatory selection processes. The other thing is to return the IDPs and the refugees, and their return is connected to the clearance of their lands.
Based on the Juba peace deal, Sudan will be divided into eight regions under a federal system of governance. For VOA News, I'm Michael Atit in Khartoum.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. Coming up, Rwanda has reduced the cost of COVID-19 tests. Find out why after this break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
what is the mode of travel you most often use to get to work? Thank God I have a car for over 9 years, so I drive my car to go to my workplace. But sometimes if it has a problem, I use tricycle.
I usually use the minibuses, but more oftenly I just walk from where I live because within the area that I work.
I have an old bicycle. I ride on it anytime I'm going to work.
I use the public transport to work most of the time because it's easily accessible and it takes me to where I'm going.
I ride in my husband's car to work. He has his own car, so every morning he picks me and drops me.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202 630 8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202 630 8011.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. In Rwanda, the government has reduced the price of COVID-19 rapid test from 1,000 Rwandan francs to 5,000 francs, which is equivalent to $5. This move comes after many Rwandans complained about the high cost of taking a COVID test, which has discouraged many Rwandans from knowing their status as a way of curbing the spread of the new Delta variant. Eugene Uimana has more for VOA from Kigali.
Private clinics across the country have started executing new tariffs for COVID-19 rapid tests. This has increased the number of people who are voluntarily testing for the deadly virus. Jean-Baptiste Mugabo is a Kigali resident. He came here to the test center. He's lucky he tested negative. He says, I work in a hotel. The requirement is that they test after every 2 weeks. At the end of the month, that's a lot of money seeing how our economy has been affected. By now that the price is at 5,000 Rwandan francs, we'll be taking rapid tests happily. The government of Rwanda took the decision to cut half the price of rapid tests after a cross-section of Rwandans complained about the high cost of testing. He says the COVID-19 rapid test was very expensive. Sometimes you wanted to test the whole family, but the price becomes a challenge. That's why we claimed so that leaders can look for other ways. She says to voluntarily do the rapid test is very crucial now, especially as we have a Delta variant in our country. The virus can kill you when you didn't see the usual symptoms. When you test, you protect yourself and your neighbors. Gwanda Biomedical Center assures that though the price has been reduced, the quality of the rapid test is guaranteed. Dr. Swaib Gatale is the head of the Biomedical Services Department.
We have validated all the rapid diagnostic test kits that we use in the country. And today I'm happy to announce that all the RDTs that we use comply to the WHO recommendation. And we actually have some that have got a sensitivity of up to 96% and a specificity of 97%.
More than 70% of COVID tests done daily countrywide are taken using rapid test method. Rwanda continues to battle COVID-19 as it was confirmed to have registered cases of Delta variant, which fueled the surge in new infections and death tolls. However, vaccination goes on with a target of reaching 60% of the population vaccinated at the end of next year. Dr. Sabine Sanzimana, the Director General of Rwanda Biomedical Center, yesterday announced that the team approved mixing AstraZeneca and Pfizer BioNTech jabs. This will bridge the gap of some Rwandans who got the first dose and missed the second. He says it has been a hot debate subject and many types of research have been conducted. By now, with our researchers, we have proved that a person can mix the two vaccines and don't get negatively affected. Rather, it was approved to more build immune system. Rwanda, which has been recognized for its aggressive public health measures against COVID-19, was recently selected by the African Union as one of the three hubs for vaccine production on the continent. The other countries are Senegal and South Africa. Eugene Uwimana, VOA News, Kigali, Rwanda.
Still on COVID, the UN Center for Disease Control has just added Israel, the West Bank, and the Gaza Strip to its list of places where travel is not recommended because of growing rates of COVID-19. On Monday, for the first time since February, Israel documented just under 6,000 new cases, almost 400 of them serious. The increase comes despite Israel's decision to give a third vaccination to all adults over 60 years old. Linda Gradstein reports for VOA from Jerusalem.
Israel was one of the first countries in the world to roll out a vaccine program and the first to offer a third shot to adults over 60. Despite that, the number of people contracting COVID-19 continues to climb. Professor Salman Zarka, Israel's coronavirus czar, says the country is approaching a critical point. He said that Israel is asking everyone who can to get vaccinated, not only for themselves, but as a sign of mutual responsibility. Zarka said it won't stop coronavirus, but more shots could prevent a fourth lockdown. Despite an intensive campaign, there are still more than 1 million Israelis 12 years old and above who are eligible to get vaccinated but have not yet done so. The rates are higher among teenagers and in the Arab community. A new Israeli study found that despite the Delta variant, vaccines provide a high level of protection. The study found that the rate of serious infection is 6 times higher in older people who were not vaccinated than in those who were. Israel is also trying to contain the Delta variant by requiring anyone coming into Israel, including vaccinated Israelis, to quarantine. Mark Feldman, the CEO of Zion Tours, told Israel Radio that the new regulations have frustrated many would-be travelers, leading them to cancel their trips.
They want to make it that from almost any country in the world, if you go there, you better be expected to do a 7-day quarantine upon your return here. They don't care that to get on any plane to come to Israel, you have to do a test. The government doesn't seem to care that when you land in this country, you have to do a test.
Feldman added that the government has made it all but impossible for non-Israelis to enter the country and has frequently changed its policy.
As much of the new government has tried, the problem is the policy changes day to day. So it's incredibly difficult to make plans both to travel out of Israel and to travel from Israel.
Israel has reinstated its green pass, meaning anyone who wants to enter a restaurant, a gym, or a hotel must either show proof of vaccination or a negative COVID-19 test. The government has also set up more than 400 stations around the country for rapid COVID-19 testing. Next month, schools are set to reopen, and there are several Jewish holidays when families gather and many attend synagogue. Some Israeli officials say another lockdown is likely then. Others say that if more Israelis vaccinate and wear masks, they hope serious COVID-19 cases will drop and a lockdown will be avoided. Linda Gradstein for VOA News, Jerusalem.
And in the United States, only 8 intensive care unit beds were available on Monday in the state of Arkansas as the rapid spread of the Delta variant of the coronavirus pushed cases and hospitalization in the United States to 6-month high. Reuters' Gloria Tuso reports.
Hospitals in the United States are filling up rapidly as the Delta variant sends COVID-19 cases surging to a 6-month high. The U.S. has averaged 100,000 cases for 3 days in a row, up 35% over the past week, according to a Reuters tally. That's largely due to Delta sweeping through unvaccinated swaths of southern states. Arkansas Governor Asa Hutchinson said Monday only 8 intensive care unit beds were available in the state, while Texas Governor Greg Abbott asked hospitals to postpone elective surgeries for the time being. In Florida, which set a single-day record on Sunday with over 28,000 cases, according to the CDC, hospitalizations have been at record highs for 8 days in a row. That's led to renewed debate over vaccine and mask mandates. A growing number of top education officials have shifted gears, calling for mandatory vaccinations for teachers and mask mandates in schools. Meanwhile, the Pentagon announced Monday it would seek the president's approval to require military members to get vaccinated. Louisiana, Florida, and Arkansas reported the most new cases in the past week based on population.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm VOA Health Correspondent Linor Moudou. The World Health Organization and U.S. Centers for Disease Control say coughing and sneezing can spread COVID-19. Physical distancing, staying at least 1 meter away from people outside your family, can protect everyone. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
That's all we prepared for you this Wednesday. Let us know what you think about this show. Our WhatsApp number is +1 202 630 8011. Send us your brief comments and we'll air them every Friday. We now leave you with the song Dodo by Lokoya, traditional group from Eastern Equatorial State.
Kaila kaila bene ya ekele mena madara na ditaga.
We've been listening to Lokoya traditional group from Eastern Equatorial State. I'm John Tanza. Thanks for being part of our evening. Remember to always wash your hands with soap. Practice social distancing and wear a mask when you're in public places to protect you and others from getting COVID-19. Do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers because there's no cure for coronavirus. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
I'm gonna make you mine.